for those songs and gets us ready for worship. I love some singing. Boy, it just doesn't seem right up here with Tom missing. I can't get used to it. We're going to go to Jonah tonight. There's a lot to learn in this book. You know, when I was young, I heard the story of Jonah and must not have read the book, because I always thought that he was a coward. But it's not that way. He had reasons for doing what he did. He was wrong in his reasons. But he justified it in his own mind. We'll see here where Jonah Jonah had made a vow to God. And, you know, if we make a vow to God, we're going to do something. This right here is a good lesson. We better do what we've made a vow to do. We'll just start here in Jonah in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now this doesn't say here what God's message is. And we're going to see that Jonah is going to bring the message that God tells him to bring. And it may not be the message he really wants to bring. He may want to preach repentance, but that's not what God's going to tell him to do. Verse 3, But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Where do you go to hide from the Lord? I mean, and we know Jonah was a prophet. He was a man of God. But he made some bad decisions. So verse 4, he gets on this ship to flee from the Lord. We're just going to skim through this. When he gets on this ship in verse 4, there's a storm comes up. Verse 5, they're trying to lighten the ship. They throw stuff off. Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and was fast asleep. So he wasn't scared. Verse 6, the shipmaster comes and says, O sleeper, arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us and would perish not. And verse 7, And they said, Every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. I'm not too sure. I don't understand what casting lots is. But we see in here where they cast lots, and it comes out right. I wish I knew more about that. And they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us. What is thine occupation? From whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. The men were, they were, then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So he had told them what he was doing. They said unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm to you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, has done it as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. The men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So we see where Jonah's rebellion has got him. And we're gonna start over here in a minute. First, he's going to suffer. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction to the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all the billows, and thy ways passed over me. Then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought my life from the corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and to thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. For I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on dry land. So we know that Jonah was in the belly of this fish 3 days and three nights. And I take it here, he was in there, looks like 3 days and three nights before he cried to God to relieve him. Reminds me of Pharaoh when he was asked, when do you want us to get rid of these frogs? And what did Pharaoh say? He said tomorrow, didn't he? You know, I hope that if that fish swallowed me up, I'd hope I'd right then start praying. I wouldn't want to have been in there 3 days and three nights. And you know, the same with Pharaoh. He wanted to lay with those frogs another night. Then, chapter 3, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So there it is again. God's going to give Jonah the message. And one thing we can see about Jonah, he is faithful to deliver the message God gives him. So, you know, let that be a lesson to us. If we think that God's telling us to do something, it would we'd be ahead to go ahead and do it. You know, there's not any use us spending 3 days in the belly of a fish to. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. I understand this to be, it takes 3 days to walk across this city. It must have been pretty big. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So we don't see any suggestion to repent. He just tells them that that's going to be the end of it. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. We remember drawing a blank. Well, everybody in this city repented from their evil. From the greatest to the smallest, the king on down. And this king's going to have more to say. These people must have knew God. They had to have known something about God. Another thing I meant to mention about Nineveh, that was the capital of Assyria. And we know how many times the Assyrians attacked the Israelites. So that would be one reason that Jonah wouldn't want to go there, because he just didn't like them. I mean, they're really his enemy. Verse 7, he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water." So this king is going to, he's going to make everybody fast. So, you know, we're told a lot of times in here, prayer and fasting. You know, someone is serious about what they're doing when they do without anything to eat or drink. But also here, I see that their cattle and their sheep, they didn't eat or drink either. "But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mighty unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." So this includes all the animals. They're all covered with sackcloth, you know. I know we read in here different times where people covered themselves with sackcloth and put ashes on them. But this, I believe this is the only place I read where they put sackcloth on their animals and ashes. In verse 9, this king, we know that he knows a few things. He said, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. What I was trying to think of a while ago, and I still can't think of it, was where Lot was, and Abraham went to rescue him, and God was going to destroy that city. And how many just men were they? Started out at 50 and kept going down. But you know, this city's a lot different. These people were receptive to God's message, and they did truly to repent. Now, chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. You know, normally a preacher, when people repent, he's happy. So why was Jonah displeased? Jonah was a prophet. Well, we'll go a little farther here. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before you unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So we can figure out from what he says there, when I was yet in my country, you know, was not this my saying? He understood before he ever started that if these people repented, God was going to not destroy them. But evidently God didn't allow him to preach a repent message. He must have been a really good preacher. He brought the word of God to him just like God told him to. And it worked. Verse 3 says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. So he's afraid he's going to lose all his credibility. Or not, maybe not credibility. He thinks he's up here on this high pedestal because he's some great prophet. But you know, we have to be careful. God's up there and we're down here. He thought a little too much of himself. Jonah, verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. And there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah. That's some kind of shade tree, a gourd. That it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. But God prepared a worm, when the morning rose the next day, it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, "Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" So God's telling him that he didn't make that shade tree. God had made it. And it's God's right to do what he wants to do. You know, this is his world. It's all his. And he has the right. He makes all the decisions, and we don't have the right to decide a lot of those things. I wanted to go to Matthew 12 and 40 just because Jesus, talking about Jonah, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly," so, you know, it was called a great fish over there in Jonah. And Jesus here used the, here in our writing, it's called whale's belly. So I was a little curious of that, and I tried to look it up, and the original writing, of course, was in Greek. And what Jesus said was ketos, K-E-T-O-S. But ketos has more than one description. It could be a large fish or a whale. So it still doesn't necessarily mean that that was a whale. Now here it's translated whale, but it's not necessarily what Jesus said or meant. And I wanted to mention also, this was not the only time God used Jonah. 2 Kings 14 and 25. And from what I can understand, this is after Jonah was in the whale's belly. "He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain." This is talking about the king at this time. "According to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, son of Amittai." So we see that's the son Jonah, the prophet. God could send Jonah with a message, and it would be preached just the way God sent it. There's a lot of lessons here that I've not done a very good job of covering it. One thing is that vow that he vowed. You know, that's important. We vow that we're going to do something for God. Well, we better do it, because the consequences could be too great. But I think Jonah was a great preacher. He was sent this message, and he preached the message God gave him. And it worked. Anyone have anything? I've kind of went through there pretty fast, and I skipped over some good stuff, but. Yes.
And I always wonder if the reason, I know he was bitter because he was preaching to his enemy.
Right.
And he knew God would repent.
So yes.
He would pull back. But then when he says it was better if I was dead, I always wonder about how he was going to feel going back home. And people knowing that he went and preached to the enemy that was going to be destroyed. And they repented. So I wonder if that was on his mind when he said it would be better if I was dead. Because can you imagine going back home?
Well,
the pride.
Yeah, his neighbors, they knew what he went up there and preached. I mean, I'm sure word got around. And his neighbors, you know, that's Israel's enemy. They'd be glad to see Nineveh destroyed. So,
I think about him doing that preaching and then having to go back home.
Well, he had some pride that needed to be addressed. And, you know, God can show us some things. I figured Jonah. We don't see here where he really repented, but I'm sure he did, because I'm pretty sure this was later over here where he was a prophet to that king. I think people listened to Jonah after that. Anyone else have anything?
Brother Rick, you know, the obvious lesson is when we choose to rebel, there's a price to be paid. And you know, he chose to stay in that fish's belly for 3 days and 3 nights, right? But if I'm honest, sometimes I stay in that fish's belly for a week or two. I mean, that's the price y'all are talking about. You know, and the longer I choose,
you know, I think we've probably all rebelled from God. I know I have. I know I have known to do things that I didn't do. And I think I've been chastised for the things I've done. But we need to obey God. It's going to be better for us. You know, we can rebel, but it's not going to be good.
Well, so you mentioned how he said it would be better just to die than to go back. But all throughout the story, like when the storm's there, that's what he tells them. Like he knows that God's punishing him because he's disobeying God. He could have said, you know what, I'll just go to Nineveh. And the storm would stop. But he said, throw me overboard. Because he's hoping to just die instead of go.
He wanted to die.
He's hoping to die. And he gets on the water. And then God has a huge fish or whale there to swallow him up. And maybe it took him three nights to pray because he was thinking, well, I'll just die here. And then it becomes apparent, God's not even going to let me die inside the fish. So, my God wasn't just going to let him die.
Yeah. You know, God prepared that fish, you know. But still, he was in there, and he had the seaweed wrapped around his head, and the waves, you know. Maybe he had to hold his breath about half the time. Maybe he was underwater. You know, he wanted to die, and he really tried to commit suicide, look, you know. But God had other plans, so. It's really a good story. You got to have a lot of respect for Jonah. You know, when we were kids, we, I guess, made fun of him. But there's a lot more to the story. Where's that at, Steve? Yeah. Well, we've seen some more places where people have tried to hide from God. Of course, that's what Adam and Eve did. But it don't work out. And, you know, we can think about God sees everything we do and hears everything we say. So we really need to keep that in mind. We think when we're in the closet, we think we're alone, but we're not. Anyone else have anything? Well, I appreciate y'all.